So today I'm going to talk a little bit about something which is actually very sad and quite painful to talk about, but it's become quite necessary, I think, particularly considering what's been happening over the last 2 or 3 months. So first of all, people who follow my work and who I am, they will know that, you know, since 2020, there's basically been an online smear campaign by anonymous people. Also impersonation on Facebook, but particularly sort of messaging people by email, or, you know, basically whenever I do anything new or, you know, do an interview or publish something, you know, they basically kind of harass and intimidate people who support me or who are collaborating with me, you know, to sort of make them think that I'm a very bad person. And this is all stemming from 2020 when, you know, I and other people reported Sangye Nyingma Rinpoche for abusive misconduct and dishonesty and bullying. And basically, as I wrote about then, you know, I was basically, there was no investigation of it. I was just treated as though I was the issue. I was then banned from all the Benchen monasteries and centers, and without any discussion. And so from that, you know, I was effectively also kind of institutionally blacklisted as well. So the Kyentse Foundation withdrew the Ashoka grant funding, again, without any discussion or investigation. They had been told by in an unverified email that, you know, I was basically not given permission to do the translations I've been doing with Sangye Nyingma, and this was also false, but they didn't check that and they didn't check the email. In any case, so, you know, these things have actually caused substantive harm, loss of funding, loss of opportunities, loss of, you know, friendships, community, sort of participation. But nonetheless, as people know, despite that, I persevered and I tried to still carve out some kind of space for my for the work that I was doing, for the studies, for the research, and also something beneficial for the Buddha Dharma, for beings with Dakini translations. And, you know, this was done during the COVID lockdown time as well. I didn't have any institutional support or backing. But after that, then, you know, it became very successful. It's very widely read. A lot of people really value and appreciate it. But I can say, you know, very honestly that I've never sort of tried to harm anyone. I've never sort of fabricated lies about someone. Everything I've said has been the truth. And the reason I've said, you know, wrote about these things was not to sort of harm anyone, but to sort of, because I was very shocked that these sorts of things were happening, that, you know, someone in that kind of position was sort of, you know, lying and sort of swearing to Buddha and Tara and Vajrayogini that, you know, I was the only one and that it never happened before like that. And, you know, I realized in hindsight, you know, I guess my biggest fault was, you know, I was very kind of, I suppose, naive in a way, but I was also very trusting, you know. I really trusted that someone in that position would not lie, was had my best intentions at heart, was a pure teacher, and that, you know, I felt that, you know, it was difficult, you know, because I also was getting a lot of help with translation and so on. And so I sort of kind of went along with it. And I can't say that, you know, it was not enjoyable at times. It certainly was, as I wrote about. But on the other hand, you know, I started to realize eventually that I was also being manipulated. I'd been lied to, that other women felt harmed by it. And also that, you know, they were lying about those women and saying that they were liars and mad and crazy. And I realized that just was not true. So in any case, you know, coming now into the sort of present more, you know, after the COVID lockdown, you know, I got more public acknowledgement for the work. As people know, I was being interviewed, going to conferences, and had books published and so on. And so, you know, at that time, you know, the smear campaign and the defamation and the intimidation of myself and others, you know, had worked to some extent, but not, you know, it hadn't completely destroyed, you know, me and my work. And then I sort of went into 2025. I was invited to the Vesak Day conference in Vietnam, and went to that. And also, you know, even at these events, you know, there was sort of attempts to kind of undermine it or sabotage it, or, you know, as I've written about. And but then I decided, you know, and I met Gyaltsen Rinpoche at the Buddha Discovering Buddha Within course in Hanoi. And I was very happy about this. I really felt that this was a really pure, genuine, beautiful connection. I was, as I wrote about this, you know, I was very happy about it because, you know, up until that time, it had been actually quite difficult as well to sort of meet teachers in person who I felt that kind of connection with and who I, you know, wanted to follow and felt were sort of authentic and qualified. And so As I've written about, you know, this kind of connection was then again, unbeknown to me, someone was actually formalizing the smear campaign with actual online content. So they initially did websites on WordPress and Blogspot, which were taken down, and a YouTube channel as well, which they call like the Pest Dissolver, which was, you know, it's sort of like very derogatory content, very misogynist. They had pictures of transvestites and overweight women on the videos, which I also thought was very misogynist and derogatory and bullying sort of protected groups. But, you know, I sort of ignored it because I really felt that, you know, anyone who saw this content would just see it for what it was, that it was anonymous, that, you know, it was clearly sort of unsubstantiated, and it was very derogatory and insulting, not just to myself, but to sort of women in general. And so I ignored it, you know, and it was, the YouTube channel was geo-blocked in the UK. And, but, you know, I wasn't interested in getting a sort of huge legal campaign going. And so I just left it at that. But then, you know, recent events during the teachings I attended of Gyotu Rinpoche, people were actually sort of reading this and really taking it seriously and, you know, weren't checking the origin of it, weren't checking, you know, they were just using it to sort of also target and bully me and interfere and use it into, you know, interrupt and disrupt and sever effectively my connection with Gyotu Rinpoche. And how do I know this? Well, first of all, obviously I wrote about, you know, some of the actions that were taken against me during these teachings, but then I know about it because a very vexatious and unnecessary court case was recently taken in Delhi in Gyotu Rinpoche's name. Seems, you know, particularly by Titi Domo, who I've written about before, who, you know, it's not even clear if he actually signed it, but whatever the case, you know, what came out of that, you know, I wasn't there to defend myself, I wasn't given the opportunity to, but there was huge amounts of fabrications and lies in it, and about dates, about locations, about what I'd done, and, you know, all sorts of things, which is, you know, completely contradicted by, you know, material facts and evidence. But one of the sort of kind of strangest and sort of most kind of shocking things was that they actually, you know, sort of stuffed into the sort of plaint, if you like, this kind of screenshots of this anonymous, derogatory, defamatory website, which was the most shocking of all, because I had no idea, you know, this is completely inadmissible, not just because, you know, of the content, but because it's, you know, anonymous and, you know, highly defamatory. But the fact that they used that and cited that as evidence either shows that they are very connected to the authorship of that website, or they just don't care about sort of truth and facts and, you know, sources, and they're just interested in using highly defamatory material to support their bullying and harassment campaign. In any case, it's been very disturbing, and to this day, you know, still not sure whether Gyotu Rinpoche himself, you know, signed up to this case, or whether it's other people who signed it for him. The signature on it is someone called Topden, and this needs to be ascertained. But also, you know, the what was requested, you know, is like this manufactured emergency that I was in India, that I was going to come to Delhi. But when it was filed, the Delhi teachings had finished. It was moving to Nepal. I wasn't in India for at least a month. I had no intention of going, and I told them that. But also that, you know, it was basically done, you know, without my being given any opportunity to defend myself. I was outside India. And so, you know, actually getting a sworn affidavit and things like that is also difficult if you're not in India, but also if you're not in your home country. So, you know, all of these things I feel are just a continuation of this sort of smear campaign, bullying, harassment, you know, lots of strange false accusations, like saying that I'm a Chinese spy and, you know, funded to target the Dalai Lama, and all of these things is extremely bizarre. But as I said, I always thought people would completely see it for what it was, which was just an anonymous misogynist smear campaign. But as people haven't, and as it has even been used in a legal context, but also in you know, by the Carlo Lucy, who's basically used it to block any investigations of these things, I feel that it is now necessary just to explain to people, you know, what I'm undergoing, not just as a woman, as a survivor, as a whistleblower, and you know, why I think a lot of people stay silent. It's obviously clear is because, you know, you get targeted with this kind of things. There's no accountability. There's no justice. There's no truth. And, you know, all I can say is it's very sad. All I can say is that when I, you know, came into Tibetan Buddhism, when I started studying and, you know, and then translating, you know, my motives were completely pure, as they are now. You know, I've never tried to harm anyone. I've never fabricated lies about anyone. You know, I always just wanted to find a good teacher to attain liberation from samsara. And I was very trusting. I thought the teachers I'd met, you know, had my best interests at heart. But, you know, I will talk about this, you know, more later. But, you know, sort of using women's bodies and minds and sort of misusing what I would say tantric rituals to do that, you know, has really sort of taken its toll. And I'm sure it's taken its toll on many other women as well, as we're finding out. So I sort of feel that, you know, the way I can put this experience to use and make it beneficial is what I've always done, and is to sort of, my motive has been to protect people, to warn them, to expose these things, and hopefully to change them and improve the situation. And through that, you know, gain some sort of, you know, friendship, you know, and resolution and genuine peace, because obviously peace cannot be based on a woman or women in general being silenced and having their experiences completely ignored and discounted. Anyway, I wanted to say this, and, you know, wishing everyone a lot of love and compassion. I don't have any ill feeling to anyone. I'm not trying to harm anyone. I've never actually actively tried to harm, hurt, you know, lie about anyone. And so, you know, that's why I feel that, you know, I can hold my head up high and still, you know, carry on with the work. And hopefully others, you know, well, I know others do feel that way. And so, you know, I hope that that is the fundamental message that comes through here as well. All right. Thank you. Bye.